Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio West, your show for all things kayak fishing in Oregon, Washington, California, and beyond. Now, here's your host, Isaac the Nothing Miller.
Folks, for tuning in to Kayak Fishing Radio West, this is Isaac the Nothing Miller. While you're listening in, check kayakfishingradio.com. That's where you're going to find all our links, Facebook, Twitter. You'll find our link to our iTunes recordings, all that. Follow us on both Facebook and Twitter. Keep up with what's going on with all the Kayak Fishing Radio shows. Also, feel free to give me a call tonight, as you can do any night. The call-in number is 714-816-4727. And you can also join the chat room, talk with our kayak handlers, ask any questions you might have in the chat room just as easily. I'll do my best to keep tight-tanning my eye on the chat room. Anyway, this week is all about Columbia River Fall Chinook. With Buoy 10 close to time to Heifer, and the gears change up quite a bit. Gave you guys a rundown last week on how to fish Buoy 10. Already been closed. They were hoping to keep it open past Labor Day, but that didn't happen this year. So, moving up out of Astoria, from Astoria to Bonneville, and a lot of these still also work in the Bonneville pool of the Columbia, although. These are big kings, the big salmon folks in for all the time. Big fish. 30 pounders are not out of the question at all. 40 pounders, quite possible. And on rare occasions, 50 plus pounds. I think the biggest fish was several years ago, somewhere around 70 plus pounds, 72 pounds. These are big wild salmon, and where happy fish oftentimes just roll up right next to you to hook in their fall king, put a good hard fight prepared to fish this one. It's a lot of work. Personally, I prefer to sitting on the anchor shook. And wait for them to come up to me. The Columbia is really deep, and to fish some of the best waters, you need to make sure you have at least 100 feet of anchor. You know, I'm busy, especially this time of year. I like to eat an 8-pound here. Times might need to go up to a 12-pound, depending on what happens this year with the rain. Thermals come back, which they're already pretty high for some time. You might need a 12-pound. Got to be ready for that. I know that's a lot more than you're going to hear from other guys. Hey, this is the Pacific Northwest. We're fishing big water for big fish. Once anchored up, you need a 4 to 5-foot leader tied to a wobbler or a spinner. I prefer 30-pound for a carbon. It's my favorite. Just great. The fluorocarbon fish aren't going to see it. They're generally not leash shy anyway. But they're not going to be in the way with the 3-pound fish are likely going to break it. So that's the best way to go. Fluorocarbon in the way. Don't use anything lighter than a 20-pound test. These fish do you in. Like I said, most of these fish are going to be well over, 20 pounds. A lot of them in the 30 to 40s being cut lately. So definitely need 30 liter to give yourself the best options. My favorite way to fish, my favorite lure for fall chinook is a wobbler. Nine guys out of 10 on the river are going to be fishing with a wobbler. There's no reason we shouldn't either. Now, a wobbler is pretty much just a piece of flashy chrome plated tin and a hook. There's not a whole lot to them. They're fairly similar to a spoon, but have defined edges to them. So whereas a spoon tends to spin in the water, the wobblers do exactly as their name suggests. They wobble back and forth in the water. It's very unique, very different than you'll get from a spoon. You go into the store, say Fisherman's Marine, Dick's, any of those stores, you're going to see at least three different brands of wobblers, if not more. You know, you're going to see Alvin's, Simon's, and no, sorry, not Theodore, but Clancy. There's others out there, Brad's, a couple others. Alvin's, Simon's, and Clancy's are definitely the best way to go. Personally, I'm a fan of the Simon's. All three of those, though, do work. It's important to have at least two with you. Two different brands, I should say. The reason for that, they're all different weights. So they're all going to be slightly, you know, one's going to be heavier than another. They're going to wobble just a little bit different in the water. So there's you're going to need several of these fish or of these wobblers on your kayak at any time. So that way you can be prepared for the situation. Like I said, the Clancy's are nice and heavy. And if you've got a heavy water flow, you're going to want a heavier lure as well. If the water's pretty slow, say you've got an incoming tide, then you are going to want to use a Simon wobbler. It's going to be able to react to that slower moving water a lot better than a heavier lure would. So get several, and like I said, then you'll be ready for whatever the water does. It's the best way to do it. And that way, I'm not subscribing you to any one particular brand or the other. You know, if I had my pick, I'd be getting a handful of Simons and a handful full of Clancy's. Looks like we had some audio issues earlier. Hopefully it's all worked out by now. Looks like things are okay. Sorry, folks. Fortunately, there's not a whole lot I can do on my end. I'm just using Skype, so... I've got as much closed down on my computer, so hopefully it's not anything on my end causing any problems. Going back to wobblers, wobblers are tunable. And to be successful out there fishing for these fall Chinook, you need to be able to tune your wobbler, and you're probably going to have to do it often. Like I said, it looks kind of like a spoon, but it's folded in half from the wide part to the thin. And that crease is going to tell you, or is going to allow you to tune your wobbler to make it move quickly, to move it move slowly, whatever you need to do to make it move properly in the water. You know, if you need to speed it up, bend it in. If you need to slow it down, open it up. They're supposed to mimic bait moving in the water. So, you know, Chinook salmon, they don't like drugs, so don't get your wobbler moving around like it's on crack. Just a good, steady rhythm back and forth is what you're looking for. You know, and if you just dip it in the water next to your kayak, you're going to see the way it's moving. Like I said, you want a slow wobble back and forth, and it's going to, you know, look like a fish that's just calmly swimming along in the river, which is exactly what you're looking for. If your wobble's going too fast, straighten it out. Flatten it out just a bit, and that's going to slow that action down. If it's going way too slow, bend it in a little bit. It's going to start moving faster. All you want is a good side-to-side motion. You don't want it to spin around in circles. It doesn't take a whole lot to adjust these. When I say bend them just a bit, that's what I mean. It doesn't take a whole lot to change the action of the wobbler. Just keep it nice and easy. Once you see it in the water, it's not going to be too difficult to figure out. You know, another thing about wobblers, again, when you're at the store, you're going to be staring at shelves of wobblers in different colors, different brands, different patterns. Ooh and ah over them. Pick out several you might like. Heck, bring along the girlfriend and or the wife. You know, take a look. See what's going to be the prettiest, whatever looks the greatest, you know. The only thing that matters is that when you're on the water, your wobbler is chrome, not copper, needs to be silver, and at least one end needs to be painted chartreuse, and it has to be UV reflective. Three things. So, you know, one end or the other is going to be painted chartreuse, sometimes both. Get any of those, and as long as everything else on there is chrome, you're good to go. All the others, turn them into earrings. They're going to be hits at the club, I swear. They're huge, and they might stop buying all the feathers from the fly tackle shops. Of course, none of this is important unless you put the wobbler in front of the fish. There are several things here, a few different methods to the madness, if you will. On the Columbia, with the water being on the warm side this time of year, you need to get the lure down deep in the water. Chinook prefer that cooler water, and that's where they're going to be traveling, is where the water is the coldest. So that's going to be down deep. You know, with springers back in the, you know, March, April, you know, they're going to be in 15 to 20 foot of water. But with these fall hogs, they're going to be, like I said, a lot deeper, and they're going to be going down upwards of 45 feet. Generally, though, fish will be running in the 25 to 30 foot of water, historically speaking. That's usually where they're spending the most amount of time. So you're going to be further out in the river. Be ready for that. And like I said, you're going to be running a lead dropper most of the time. I think I mentioned that earlier. A lead dropper higher up on the line above your leader to help get your wobbler down the water. And that dropper line is going to be, on average, about 4 feet long, 3 to 5, depending on where you're at. And this is, you know, like I said, in 25 to 30 feet of water, that 4 foot dropper is going to put that wobbler right above the heads of these Chinook as they pass by. And that's where they're seeing things the best. That's where it needs to be. If you get too short, if you get down to the 2 to 3 foot range, it's going to be underneath the fish, and they're going to pass right on over it on their way up the river. Be prepared at any point to adjust the length of your dropper. If you've got a fish finder on your boat and you see fish passing, going upriver right underneath your boat, pay attention to how deep they are in the water and adjust your dropper to get your wobbler to that same depth. You know, it's not uncommon to find yourself anchored up, say, 40 to 50 feet of water and running a dropper upwards of 15 feet long, because that's where the fish are. That's where the water's the coldest. That's where they want to be. You know, you got to experiment. You got to move around. There's going to be plenty of other guys out there on the water. Find out what they're at. Take a look. See what they're doing. And you're going to be able to find these fish. It's not going to be a whole lot of work to find them. Now, like I mentioned, fall Chinook historically like to keep around 15 to 30 feet of water. Now, I was talking about using a lead dropper to get you down in this range. And of course, you've got to adjust that length of the dropper. But there is another option. Jet divers. This is something you're very rarely going to see on the water, but it can definitely happen. And you got to be careful when you're doing this. The tough part is where you're fishing. If there's a lot of boats in the water, it's not going to be the best place. You know, to get a jet diver down 25, 30 feet, you've got to let out a lot of line, 100 feet a line out of the back of your kayak. If you're in a hog line and there's a whole bunch of power boats anchored up side by side by side with you in the middle, you know, you're not going to want 100 feet of line out of the back of your kayak, especially when they're only running about 50 out of the back of their boats. Not the best way to go. Because it's a jet diver, it's going to be moving around a little bit in the water, letting the current kind of take it here and there. And I think, in my opinion, that's the best way when you're sitting at anchors, to let that get around a little bit. Don't let it sit in one spot. Like I said, if you're in a popular fishing area and you're tied up right alongside a bunch of power boats, having twice as much line out as they do and having a line that's moving around the water, it's just going to cause tangles, It's not going to be a good situation for you and the other anglers on the water. So don't use a jet diver in that situation. But if you find yourself on a section of the river where it's just you, there's, by all means, use a jet diver. It's probably going to be the easiest way for you to adjust depths and get onto the fish. You know, if you need to get down deeper, let your line out further. If you need to come up shallower, bring the line in. It's the easiest way to adjust your fishing depth to get right to where the fish are passing through. I think is pretty much the only way to go in this type of situation. Like I said, it's not always the best, especially if you're fishing around other boats. This fall Chinook fishing is traditionally done in September, throughout the month of September for that matter. That's where what everyone out there is going to be. Like I said, there's a lot of boats on the water. I know one place I went last year, you could walk across the river from one side to the other across boats. They were all on separate anchors, but they were all pretty much tied up to each other all the way across the river. I know we had one barge come through, and a half of the dozen, or probably about a dozen of the boats, had to drop out of the line, pull up their anchors. As soon as it passed, they were right back on their spots, back fishing again. It's a trip. It can be pretty difficult at fishing out there sometimes. But definitely be prepared for being out there. Like I said, you know, there's a lot of people out there. You know, dress for submersion. Have a safety flag, something like a Yak Attack Visipole of one type or another. They've got several of them. Take a VHF radio. Most of the other power boaters out there have a VHF radio. Like I said, you're going to be fishing in or next to commercial traffic lines. You're going to hear about boats coming up in front of you, coming up behind you. The best way to communicate with other boaters on the water is with a VHF radio. You know, be safe out there. There's plenty of good places to do the fishing. Yeah, I mean, we've got the whole Columbia River from pretty much from Astoria to Bonneville Dam. There's a whole lot of river there. The best place to do some of the fishing is immediately downriver of mouths from other tributaries feeding into the Columbia. Places like the Willamette, the Sandy, the Lewis. Great places to be. A lot of these techniques also work up above in the Bonneville Dam. You'll see guys doing the same thing up there, just sitting on the hook, wobbler in the water. It's real easy fishing. Take a camera with you. Take a little bit of music, pack a lunch. It's good, easy fishing, and some of my favorite. Like I said, it's good just to get out, just to relax, enjoy the weather, and have a good time. If you're not anywhere near the Columbia River, don't worry. Puget Sound is still putting out some killer pinks. Just a ton of humpback salmon running through the Puget Sound system this year. It's an odd number of years, so catch them now, smoke them up, put them in the freezer. You're not going to have a chance again for two more years. Fishing's been great using pink buzz bombs, flies, anything. They'll go after it. They're great. It's good fishing, a lot of fast action, good way to go. What else we got going on? Alaska, still doing some killer salmon fishing up in Alaska. Saltwater, you've got those bright coho. Of course, all the rivers have everything in them as well. A little bit darker in color, but the river's also a little bit more difficult for a lot of us kayak fishermen. So maybe best to stay out of those, but saltwater fishing, especially around Seward, Alaska, still been phenomenal. Been seeing a lot of great video lately from Rudy up there in Alaska. Rudy's been posting a lot of videos, just killing them. He's got fish jumping into the boat, doesn't even need a net when he's out there coho fishing. It's been pretty cool to watch. Let's see, yeah, get out there and fish. I know I've got a new rod on the way. I've got a new moose knuckle lanyard on the way also. Can't wait to get all of them slimy. Next week, I'm on a mothership albacore tuna trip. I'll have my first mothership trip next week. And so next week's show is going to be all about mothershipping. You know, it's a lot different because you're putting your kayak on a boat, going out, taking your kayak off the boat, fishing, putting it back on the boat, coming back in. It's definitely not the same thing, but you're not going to be running a lot of gear with you at this time. And, you know, because you're not paddling 30, 40 miles, you're also, you know, not doing a whole lot of kayaking and needing all the gear also. Something different, something worth talking about, though. Next week, I'm hoping to have at least one mothership veteran on the show talking about their experiences, what to prepare for, and what to do about that. Also coming up, the next Adventure Bass Yakking Tournament is Saturday, September 17th. You can register for that tournament now at nextadventure.net, and this is going to be killer. It's the first kayak bass fishing tournament here in the Pacific Northwest and should definitely be an awesome time. All public waters within a 50-mile radius to Next Adventure Paddle Sports are open. So, yeah, like I've mentioned before, that's Hag Lake in Oregon, you know, which holds the last three state records for smallmouth bass. Silver Lake in Washington, which is a well-known, phenomenal bass fishery. And, of course, the Columbia and Willamette Rivers right here in Portland. A lot of good fishing water. You can find out more about the Next Adventure Bass Yakking Tournament on nwka.org, nextadventure.net, or yakangler.com. All three sites have all the information you're going to need for the Bass Yakking Tourney, so check those out. Also, don't forget to check out our other kayak fishing radio shows throughout the week. Mondays, 8 o'clock Eastern, we have Redfish Chuck with news and fishing on the east coast of Florida, followed by Tuesdays, 5 o'clock, if I remember correct. No, that's still 5 o'clock Pacific. It's 8 o'clock Eastern. Rob A. Bad Backcast of Ore does the west coast of Florida on his show. Great show. They do a lot of fly fishing on that coast. Actually, I think they do a lot of that throughout Florida. Always a fun show to listen to, see what they've got going on down there. Definitely a different fishery than we have in the Northwest. Wednesdays, Mark Wheeler brings up the Central Atlantic coast from Virginia Beach. His show, again, 8 o'clock Eastern. And, of course, again, 8 o'clock Eastern on Thursdays, the Honorable Chip Gibson wraps up the week with our weekly roundtable discussion. And that brings in kayak anglers from across the U.S. just to chat about kayak fishing in general. And, I mean, like I said, we've got guys East Coast, West Coast, everything in between on that show. And that one's a good one to check out. Like I said, you check out all our shows, all the information about the shows on kayakfishingradio.com. And again, find us on Facebook and on Twitter. The links for those are on our website, kayakfishingradio.com. This is Isaac the Nothing Miller. I'm going to wrap it up here for this week. Said next week, got the big show talking about tuna fishing. It's going to be an awesome time. See you guys then.